Welcome to Love It or Leave It, live from Hollywood. I'm John Lovett. I've been to Maine twice. No tattoos. We've got a great show for you tonight, but first, let's get into it. What a week. So what do Americans and former Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell have in common? Well, we've both been going downhill since Trump got elected, and it's not totally clear if we're going to make it to the end of his term. Just to catch you up, Mitch McConnell fell in 2019 and had surgery for a fractured shoulder. Then he was hospitalized for a concussion in 2023 after a tumble at a Washington hotel. And after several weeks in recovery, fell again at Reagan National Airport. He's like one of those famous DC cherry blossoms, so beautiful. And before you know it, on the ground. He froze mid-sentence during multiple press conferences, staring vacantly from the podium for between 20 and 30 seconds until rescued by aides and colleagues. He fell again after a meeting with GOP senators in December of 2024 and fell down the stairs again in February of 2025. In that case, the ref gave the stairs a red card, which was totally bullshit. Anyway, shout out to the sleeper left-wing agent on McConnell's staff who keeps gassing this guy up for stairs. Should we take the elevator? If you're a pussy, you got this, Mitch. Then in February of this year, McConnell was admitted to the hospital for a week because of flu-like symptoms. And then on June 14th, he was admitted to the hospital yet again with zero explanation from his office other than to say he was receiving excellent care. And the man has not been seen publicly since then, which means there's really only two possibilities. He's either on the brink of death or he's about to release one hell of an album. Last week, several news outlets reported that on June 14th, according to emergency dispatch audio, EMTs had been called to McConnell's home and performed CPR on an unconscious person in cardiac arrest. But before we jump to any conclusions, that could have been about any unconscious person having a heart attack at Mitch McConnell's home. Perhaps a startled neighbor who stumbled upon a dead Mitch McConnell. His office... Shame on you. His office has released several statements since then, insisting that the senator is improving and working closely with staff, but we've heard absolutely nothing from the man himself. Said one member of McConnell's staff, Mitch is as vibrant as ever. Have you seen Weekend at Bernie's? He's like the two Fun Alive guys in that movie. In a letter, Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear formally requested that McConnell fully update Kentuckians regarding the current status of his health. Oh, get right on it, responded a semi-transparent and glowing McConnell floating above Beshear's bed in the middle of the night. And then, once the public began questioning whether McConnell was still alive, a number of prominent Republicans released oddly similar statements on the same day, claiming to have spoken with him on the phone about similar topics. Topics like the economy, the war in Iran, what it's like meeting Genghis Khan, and how heaven is insanely hot and scary. Commentator Scott... Heaven is like terrifying. It's so hot. I hate it here in heaven. It's so mean and hot. Commentator Scott Jennings said, and I quote, I spoke to my old friend Mitch McConnell this morning. We talked for just shy of 20 minutes about Iran, Ukraine, the unfolding situation in Maine, my visit to the TR Presidential Library, and even a little bit of Senate history. Sadly, once Jennings got into the details of his visit to the museum, McConnell killed himself. Senate Majority Leader John Thune put out a similar statement, as did Senator John Barrasso.
Senator Barrasso and Senator McConnell had a lengthy conversation early Tuesday afternoon. Their phone call lasted roughly 20 minutes. They caught up about the latest news impacting Senate races, Graham Plattner scandal, and the recent Supreme Court ruling on coordinated spending limits.
He's never been sharper, added Jill Biden out of habit. Kentucky Congressman Thomas Massie, who lost his primary to a Trump-backed challenger, mocked these proof-of-life statements, posting, I spoke to McConnell for about 20 minutes this morning. He said we should end the war in Iran, quit giving aid to Israel, stop spying on Americans without a warrant, and he's really sorry about how my primary turned out. Hey, I never said any of that, said Mitch McConnell via television static to a terrified orphan no one believed. Here's the conspiracy theory. McConnell is being kept alive until August 3rd because if he dies before then, there would be a special election to fill the remainder of the term, and Massey could run, win, and annoy the fuck out of Trump and Senate Republicans till January. And Massey would have pretty big shoes to fill. And, like a toddler, McConnell is constantly leaving shoes behind. You're a Senate aide, you finally get a fussy Mitch McConnell into the car, you look down one fucking shoe, and you're like, where's your shoe, buddy? And he doesn't know, so now you gotta go all the way back to the Rainforest Cafe and say, did you happen to find a senator's shoe? On what they wanted me to cut that, I said, fuck you. I didn't say fuck you, I'm respectful. On Wednesday, Trump was asked by reporters on Air Force One whether he knew how McConnell was doing.
Nope. I have no idea. I have no idea how he's doing.
Though, to be fair, you could ask Trump that question about Don Jr. and you'd probably get the same answer. But this is life under gerontocracy. Mitch McConnell is 84, which is, for context, the age 78-year-old Maine governor Janet Mills would be at the end of her term if she were elected to the Senate. She was the candidate backed by 75-year-old Chuck Schumer, who fell behind oyster farmer and baritone maniac Graham Plattner, backed by 84-year-old Bernie Sanders, in a contest to take on Republican Susan Collins, who would be 80 at the end of her next term if she wins. Boy, if I had a nickel for every senator and candidate who is too old, I'd have enough nickels to buy a house when they all bought houses. As we've discussed, Mills dropped out, Plattner won, and then Plattner was accused of sexual assault. On Wednesday, Trump weighed in on the allegations against Plattner.
It's really a question of whether or not you believe the woman. A lot of people say big falsehoods.
They say the enemy of my enemy is my friend, so naturally Trump sided with Plattner over his arch nemesis, a woman. Later on Wednesday, Plattner finally suspended his campaign in a whiny and conspiratorial video that was over 11 minutes. The video was more than twice as long as it needed to be and barely acknowledged the woman's point of view. Did Christopher Nolan direct this thing? Let's take a look.
But the brutal political reality is that they are going to take everything away from us. Those in power who have the ability to do so are using these allegations as an excuse to take away all of the things that we need to run a campaign.
Good point, Graham. You are the victim here. But Plattner hasn't withdrawn yet. According to Axios, Plattner told his staff that he's planning to wait until Monday, the last possible moment, to actually formally exit the race. And as a terminal procrastinator myself, I'm almost impressed. I once wrote a speech the day after President Obama gave it. It was that good. The Maine Democratic Party will have until July 27th to replace Plattner on the ballot and is planning to have a hastily thrown together convention to choose a candidate. There will be speeches, debates, and hopefully a swimsuit competition. To check for tattoos, you horny perverts. Meanwhile, our gerontocracy is also causing some international problems. Here's President Trump at the NATO summit in Turkey this week during his meeting with Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky.
We had 111 missile shot by the Islamic Republic of Japan.
As Japan's Ayatollah would say, I carumba. And this seems like a harmless gaffe, but before Trump had a chance to correct himself, the US and Israel bombed Japan. I'm really struggling to understand your rhythm. I feel like you're with me, death. During that same press conference, Trump couldn't remember the acronym for the Obama nuclear deal, and he called Zelensky President Putin, gesturing right at him before trying to cover up the mistake.
You have a question for President Putin, please? Do you have a question for President Putin? Not Zelensky. What would you like to ask him? Because I'm going to ask him that question.
Smooth. I don't think anybody noticed. Trump's visit took place as the ceasefire with Iran unraveled. Earlier in the week, Iran's military had renewed its attacks on ships in the Strait of Hormuz, and the U.S. launched new rounds of retaliatory strikes, with Trump saying on Truth Social, "This is retribution for yesterday's bombing of ships. If it happens again, it will get much worse." He did post that in Japanese, which was thoughtful. But not to worry. Even with all of this going on, the president found time to take a little nap at the NATO summit.
3 years, even before the pledged date, We have allocated an additional budget.
Out like a light. More alarming, when he woke up, he said he had a great meeting with Mitch McConnell. And speaking of an international incident involving McConnell, one strange part of that saga, the senator was admitted to the hospital on June 14th. His wife, former Bush Labor Secretary and Trump Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao, met with Chinese officials in Beijing on June 17th. Her spokesperson put out a statement saying, and I quote, "The senator's health did not warrant an immediate return to the U.S. Pretty cold. I'm just glad Mitch McConnell wasn't alive to see this." Chao must have been relieved that the paramedics found McConnell before she got back. It just sucks to go on a long trip, and instead of coming home to a clean house when you just want to throw down your bags and go to sleep, you open the door and the floor is covered with Mitch McConnell. Whether it's Trump's military misadventures or Biden's foolish decision to run for another term or Dianne Feinstein losing her faculties before our eyes and dying in office in her 90s or McConnell clinging to power or ancient incumbents shocked to find out that disgruntled voters want someone, anyone new, this is where gerontocracy leads. Say what you will about Iran, but at least they replaced their 86-year-old ruler with a much younger man after a gentle nudge from the U.S. and Israel. We killed him. Time wins in the end. You can either leave with dignity or cling to power until you become a punchline. For example, Mitch McConnell is so old.
How old is he?
Scientists have actually proven that apes evolved from him. And we'll all be different when we're old, because unlike McConnell, we're gonna live forever. All right, we've got a great show for you tonight. We'll be right back with Congressman Maxwell Frost.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Bombas. Summer's here, and it's, you know, it's outdoor time. You know what I've been doing, John? I've been using a weighted vest. Walking. I've been doing it.
You've been walking with a weighted vest?
You bet I have. It's
anyone
great.
Can get pictures of Love It walking with the weighted vest. Please send them.
Yeah, it's great. I look great, so take a picture. I don't care. And it's nice. And I do it in my Bombas socks, because I wear Bombas socks all the time.
Amazing.
They've got a whole line of pro-level sports-specific socks for golf, yoga, the gym, for every kind of runner. Plus, they're airy, sweat-wicking, and your feet feel as good at the end of the day as they did at the start. Here's what's nice about the rucking thing. Because I do a lot of running. I do Pilates. I do weights. This is like, you can go on a walk that feels like you can have a conversation the whole time, but you're wearing the weighted vest, so you actually are getting more of a workout than you think. You're really tired at the end. So that's what I think about rucking.
Maybe I'll get a weighted vest.
They have supportive compression socks that are soft, perfect for all of your summer travel. Normal compression socks have a hospital vibe, but the Bombas ones, they'll keep your legs, you know, feeling good after a long flight, but they also look great. Do you know what EVA stands for? Neither do I. I just know that Bombas makes their sandals and slides from the super lightweight, cushy, waterproof EVA foam. It's like walking on marshmallows. I wear those all the time too. They're great. I have the Friday slides. They're fantastic. Ooh. For every item you purchase, an essential clothing item is donated to someone facing housing insecurity. One purchased equals one donated, with over 200 million donations and counting. Head over to bombas.com/loveit and use code loveit for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/loveit. Code loveit at checkout. This episode is presented by Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Planned Parenthood health centers are the nation's leading provider of sexual and reproductive health care, including cancer screenings, wellness exams, STI testing and treatments, birth control, abortion, and more. Today and every day, Planned Parenthood is committed to providing access to the care, information, and resources people need to make their own decisions about their bodies and futures. But the Trump administration and Congress are trying to take away that freedom. They defunded Planned Parenthood health centers in an effort to cut off affordable medical care for millions, especially low-income Americans who rely on Medicaid. You know, there was just this member of Congress who disappeared, a Republican member of Congress, disappeared for 4 months. He shows back up. He says, I had depression. And it's like, all right, well, I'm glad you got the help you need, and it's good to take the stigma away from depression, but you've been trying to cut off healthcare for people for quite some time, So maybe reflect on that. That depresses me. In an ongoing affordability crisis, stripping people of high-quality, affordable healthcare is yet another cruelty inflicted by this out-of-touch administration. Planned Parenthood has never and will never stop fighting for everyone's fundamental right to quality healthcare, regardless of who you are or where you live, no matter what. They need supporters like you in the fight. Donate at PlannedParenthood.org/defend. That's PlannedParenthood.org/defend. And we're back. We will have Representative Frost out in just a moment. But first, if you are a friend of the pod, thank you. And if you're not, consider this your midterm reminder. In addition to even more Pod Save America content, like the Only Friends episode and Open Tabs newsletter, you get ads-free breaking news, and you're supporting independent media that you can trust. Plus, you'll get a discounted ticket to all-day Crooked Con and other perks. So please, please, please become a friend of the pod. Help us build a pro-democracy media company at crooked.com/friends. And if you're in the LA area, go to crooked.com/events and come check out our new studio and amazing upcoming guests like Brooklyn Nine-Nine's Joe Latrullio, Wet Hot American Summer director David Wayne, the hilarious Rachel Harris from The Hangover, and more. All right, please welcome to the stage the only Florida man I want to read a headline about. It's Congressman Maxwell Frost. Hi, thanks for being here. Good to see you, buddy.
Good to be here.
All right. Boy, it's nice to have you.
Yeah, good to be here.
Are you still the youngest member of Congress?
I'm still the youngest member.
Wow.
As of now.
As of now.
I think it's going to change next year.
Is there going to change? How many younger candidates do you think we could possibly see?
There's one guy in Iowa, too, who's like 4 months younger than me. But hopefully he loses because we want the Democrat to
win. Great. Yeah, fuck that guy.
But there will be Milat Kiros from Colorado, who's like 4 months younger than me, and she will be the new youngest member.
Wow. That's cool. Does that feel like sad for you at all?
I mean, it sucks to lose a fundraising pitch, you know? I guess I'll always be the first Gen Z or whatever. But it's good because if you're the youngest for a long time, that's really bad.
Right.
Because, I am getting older.
Mm-hmm.
And that means there's no young people coming in. So it's actually really good.
You turn 30 next year.
I do.
Are you ready?
I'm ready. I heard 30 is younger than 29.
Oh, that's
Is
wrong.
That true?
No.
Oh, no?
No, it's older for sure.
Oh, okay.
So... You're in Congress. The Republican majority is so thin and the members are so discouraged and divided that Congress is now, the members, Republicans, are describing themselves as part of a zombie Congress. What is the vibe on Capitol Hill right now?
Everybody's pissed off and nobody wants to be there. And the reason is because, you said it, like this Congress isn't passing any legislation. There's no bills being put forth. On a lot of the committees, there's no hearing. So there's just like the job that we're supposed to do, which is passing bills, isn't getting done. And so we get up there and it's usually censures or like just like petty stuff. Or like the Freedom Caucus holds up a vote and then like Trump brings them to the White House and gives them some new merch and then they come back and they vote the way he wants. And people are just asking, why are we here if we're not actually going to do anything? And it's pretty sad.
And on even issues like Epstein, Republicans are afraid that Democrats are going to issue subpoenas. So the hearings, they're not even having real committee meetings. They're having like fake meetings, right?
Yeah. So on the oversight committee, the way it works is during a committee hearing, we can put forth a motion for a subpoena. We have enough Republicans who agree with us on this on the committee that we could issue subpoenas to anyone we want. And so Chair James Comer understands this. And so we haven't had a hearing in like 4 or 5 months. What we have is what they call round tables, which are not on the record. They're not videoed. They're not on the congressional record, and you can't make any kind of motion during this roundtable. So most of us have been skipping them because they're just like conversations, and I don't want to talk to you, not you.
Right, them. Yeah. I understood. But so they're not just like Comer doing Trump's bidding, is refusing to have official hearing meetings because the majority on that hearing, which would include some Republicans, would pass. Measures and subpoenas that would embarrass the Trump administration.
Exactly. He is fully a part of the cover-up from the White House to cover up the Epstein files and protect pedophiles.
That sucks. Last month, the Supreme Court ruled that the Department of Homeland Security could strip temporary protected status from hundreds of thousands of Haitian and Syrian immigrants. The news has moved on from the story, but you have Central Florida has a big Haitian population, for example. So what actually is happening now in the wake of the ruling?
Well, the first thing is we knew this was coming, right? So we weren't just like sitting around waiting for the decision. And so Representative Ayanna Pressley at the beginning of the year put forth a bill To essentially extend TPS for a few years. And then her and I and a few other people put a discharge petition on the floor. And the way a discharge petition works is if you get at least 50% plus one of Congress to sign it, then it forces the vote. So we did this months ago. We got enough Republicans to sign it with us. We forced the vote, and it passed the House of Representatives. One of the first discharge petitions to pass, and especially on immigration. So it's historic, but now we're waiting for the Senate to vote on it. We believe we might be able to pressure enough senators to do the right thing and vote to extend TPS, especially with the election coming up. But they won't even give it a vote. They won't even put it on the floor. And so we've been encouraging people to help us pressure the Senate to put it on the floor so we can actually have something done. This is going to be one of the best vehicles we have to protect Haitian Americans right now.
So if Democrats were able to win the House in the fall, you'd have a majority that would run from moderates all the way to Democratic Socialists. Do you think the best way to deal with internal division is to put Josh Gottheimer and Brad Lander into some kind of arena, some sort of fighting, get it out, some sort of, it could be boxing, it could be something more, some sort of trial by combat?
Yeah. It might be entertaining. I don't know if it would help us. But, you know, I'll say that, number one, this is what makes our party different than the Republican Party. We're not the party of one guy. We're not the party of, you know, Trump. And so we are a coalition. And that's what it looks like to be in a coalition with people. There's going to be people who disagree on different things on different sides. My hope is we can agree on some very basic things that I think will make a big difference. And for me, one of the most important things we need to do is have something we run on right in the midterms, win on it, and then the most important part, do it. And for me, it has to be big, bold, transformational ideas, or I think we might win the midterms, but it's not about gaining power once. It's about gaining power and keeping power. And that's one of the most important things that I think we can do. And my hope is that we'll do that as a Democratic caucus.
There's a tension. So as you said, we're a big, big tent that runs the gamut, a lot of different points of view. And at the same time, you have Republicans and Republican media going and taking the most lefty person, or whether they're a politician or just a random professor or something, grab it and try to tar moderate members from swing districts that are trying to sort of seem more centrist. That's their politics. And they get tagged with some of those lefty things or some of the worst statements from people that they disagree with. And so you have people like Josh Gottheimer, who's just one person to pick out, but said, like, you know, we should disavow democratic socialism. And you have others who I think even more behind the scenes are saying, hey, like, I have a tough race and these people are making my job harder. So how do you think about that? Like, what is their responsibility to show that people to the left are welcome in the coalition? And then what is the responsibility of maybe members on the left to understand that even if it's unfair, they are going to be used to represent others too?
I think the first thing is people need to realize that this is going to happen no matter who's elected in other districts. And sometimes I refer to it as the Florida problem. You know, a lot of times we have candidates that run statewide who the Republicans will call them socialists, communists, whatever word you want to throw in there. They could be the most moderate person in the world. They're going to get called that no matter what. And then they would spend all their campaign money on ads that say, no, I'm not. I don't know about you, but no, I'm not is not a compelling message when you can't afford anything in your life. And so for me, what I hope a lot of our colleagues realize is stop trying to punch people within our coalition to try to gain points, because regardless of whether or not that person was elected, they would call you what they want to call you no matter what. Okay. And I think once you realize that, my hope is we can focus on what we're going to do for people and not spend time explaining to people on what we're not, because I think that's part of the reason why we lost big the last election.
I agree that we should have basically a series of proposals that can run, that can unite the Democratic coalition, everybody running for Congress, everybody running for the Senate. That's our agenda. But in the best case scenario, we are passing bills that would go to Donald Trump to sign or veto. How do you think about that?
I think the mission for Democrats is very simple. The next Congress, run on the bills, right? In HR 1 through 10 that are transformational, win on them, pass them in the first month, right? Whatever it is, first 2 weeks, first month. I mean, I think about 6-4 or 6, right? When Democrats took the House after not having it for what? It was like over a decade. They came in, they passed 6 big bills that would change people's lives. And not the first 100 days, in the first 100 hours. That's the kind of action I want to see. I want us to work very quickly on big bills, and then we hit Trump for a year and a half on the fact that he's not signing them into law. This will also help us shape the Democratic primary that's going to go on at the same time, because they'll be asked about the things that we passed and if they think that should be part of our agenda. And so I think it's really about us taking power within the party. But for me, that's the mission. Pass big, bold, transformational change and then hit the road and tell the country that Donald Trump refuses to sign legislation that guarantees health care to all Americans, refuses to sign legislation that's going to bring down the cost of housing and ensure that housing is a human right. And that's what I think we should be doing over the next 2 years.
So right now there's a housing bill. As of this moment, Trump has not yet vetoed it or signed it. Where are we? We're recording this on Thursday. What's happening?
Okay, so the House and the Senate pass a bipartisan piece of legislation to help bring down the cost of housing. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect. Will it bring down the cost of housing? Yes, it will, and we need any relief we can get. And it's like the first bipartisan thing Congress has done in the last year and a half. The Speaker of the House sets up a whole like beautiful stage in the Capitol. They're ready for Trump to come. They're on stage. They're talking about it, touting it. And then in the middle of the thing, he posts on Truth Social saying, I'm not signing it unless we pass the SAVE Act. So he just doesn't show up.
So the SAVE Act is the bill that he wants to make it harder for people to vote.
Exactly.
Because he's worried about the votes in the midterm.
Yeah, he doesn't want to sign the bill to make housing cheaper for you because he wants to make voting harder for you. And so he's refusing to sign it. The way this will work is the bill will actually be enacted anyways if he doesn't sign it. But it's a big deal that something like that happens without the president signing the bill, right?
Yeah.
And so that's where things are at right now. And it just shows, he literally does not care about anybody. Working people, anything like that. The SAVE Act is not going to be passed. We're going to continue to fight against it. And that's where it's at.
Now, we talked about the gerontocracy in the opening of the show. And there have been a lot of moments where older legislators reveal that they no longer know the world. They're describing the internet as a series of tubes. They're asking Mark Zuckerberg if computer viruses are still dangerous if you print your emails. That kind of thing. But let's see if you can recognize these.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
A good idea.
These are people that print their emails. You work with a lot of people that print their emails. But let's see if you can recognize these very important historic technologies in a game we're calling Name
That Thing.
They did a great job. That's great. Here's how it works. I'm going to show you an item that lives in my millennial bones, but that you may not know about because of your youth.
You know, I am elder Gen Z.
You are. You are.
I'm the oldest one can be.
You're the oldest you can be. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's right. Because I think 1 year later would be kind of cusp. You
exactly.
know, you're kind of right on the edge
yep,
there.
Yep.
So, but yeah, see, I think if there are other Gen Z members, are you going to start a Gen Z caucus? Because once there's two of you, that's a caucus.
It is. Two's a party. I mean... We might have to.
I think you should. I think you should. Here we go. First up, name that thing.
ChatGPT.
You're just... What kind of... Who the fuck...
Sorry.
What about...
That was my staff. I'm sorry.
What about this suggestion? Was that... You know,
no, it wasn't my staff.
What about this thought you were supposed to be the one to answer? You know, you're the only person who spoke. We got 100 people here, and you're just answering the questions. Your mother, and she does that. And you're not even Gen Z, you're just an... This is the problem. This is what happened to our country. Do you understand? I bet you have a really nice house you got for 80 grand in like 1990. Unbelievable. Sitting, hey, I'm going to Costco, getting the hot dogs. God damn it.
All right. It's a fax machine.
You got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Next up, Congressman Frost, name that thing.
Hole puncher.
You got it.
Hey.
That's a hole punch. This one's going to be tricky. Name that thing.
Shit. No, I remember seeing this on the commercials on Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
It's the hop, skip, or jump.
So close. It's okay. You're in the ballpark.
Okay.
Anyone here want to shout it out now?
Skip it.
I got one word right.
It's skip it.
That should count for something.
It's not to be confused with this.
A bop it.
That's a bop
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
a bop it?
I know bop. Bop it. Pull it.
Yeah.
Smile.
Smile.
Or
yeah,
don't do that.
Pull it. You know. Twist it. Bop it. Yeah, yeah. We got it.
Yeah, yeah.
We got it. We got it.
All right.
Hey, name that thing.
Oh, Tamagotchi.
Yes.
Yes. I have one.
You did?
I did. Yeah.
How'd you do?
It died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Many times, but I had it.
Name that thing.
Ooh, that's the but it's a projector.
Yeah.
But there's another name?
No, it's a projector.
Oh, it's a projector.
It's a certain kind. We'll give it
slide
to you. Slide projector, overhead projector.
Overhead projector.
That's how we knew it. That's how we knew it.
Yeah. I got in a lot of trouble with one of these in school once.
What'd you do?
Huh?
What? Hey,
let's keep going.
No, tell us.
My staff is doing this, I think. No, I'm joking.
What did you do with an overhead projector?
No, I mean, I didn't do anything bad. Believe it or not, when I was in elementary school, I wasn't the most well-behaved kid.
Really?
Yeah,
what
I know.
What'd and you do? So what would you do?
The thing was on, and the teacher turned around, uh-huh. and I like put a finger on it.
Oh.
And like it was like one of it was the uh-huh. bad finger.
Oh, the bad finger. Classic.
Yeah,
a classic.
And so I got in trouble.
You
for
got
that.
In trouble.
But everyone laughed, and so I think it was worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you get in trouble as a kid alone?
I did.
Was it an attempt? But you were like a. Were you like a got in trouble, but the teachers loved you kind of a kid? That gets
yeah,
in trouble?
Yeah. I wasn't like punching people.
No,
you know what
no.
I mean? I was like a bit of a, talking too much.
Like,
you
yeah,
know?
Like,
and now I talk too much for work.
That Maxwell, he's a troublemaker. I can see that.
Exactly.
Your teacher saying that. Mm-hmm. I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
but
a
they
love
liked
hate.
You. But they
but
liked
they liked
you.
Me. Yeah. Liked.
Were you popular?
It depends when. I would say people always knew who I was, but at first it was because I was talking too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got really involved in student government and band and all that, and then it became because of that.
Were you like a most likely to succeed? Did you win any superlatives in high school?
I did, yeah. I won most likely to be president.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I'm ashamed.
No, I think you should be. I think that's great.
No, I didn't win that one.
Oh, wow.
That was someone else. I won
wow,
most.
Wow, already padding the bio. No,
I know. I actually remember.
It sounds like somebody that would run for president.
Yeah. I won most, like, best at academics, which was crazy because I wasn't. Not that I was bad, but I was, like, a good B student. You know what I mean?
But you had the energy of someone that was getting A's.
I guess so.
That's even better.
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
Hey, yeah, because you know I don't have an undergraduate degree.
You don't?
And when I was running, you know, or after I won, I was on an interview, and then someone asked about it, and I said, yeah, I actually don't have it. And they said, what? Why were you just finding about this for the first time? And I said, well, no one ever asked. Like, no one asked during the campaign. I think it's because I talk good.
Yeah.
You know? Everyone just assumed.
Yeah, you have college diploma energy.
I do, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Degree mills, fuck them. All right. Hey, name that thing.
I know who it is.
Who is it? Who is? No, don't. Oh. You shut the fuck up. Who is this? You nobody help him. Who is this?
It starts with an E.
Nope. Don't.
It does.
Answer.
It starts with an E.
No, it doesn't.
But it might sound like it starts with an E.
It depends on maybe in Florida.
E.
with that swamp accent of yours.
I missed that class. E.
Uh huh.
It's not Eeyore. It's not Eeyore. It's, Alfie.
It's Alf.
Alf. Okay.
Alf.
Alf.
You don't know about Alf.
I know who he is. I know this guy. I know this man. This
yeah,
person.
Yeah, you know him.
I know him.
We all know Alf.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with Alf. I just don't I don't remember the name. This might be right before me, you know?
No, for sure. Well, I was, because I'm 43.
You were
this
3?
This was on when I was a very small child.
Yeah, so I wasn't
so
here.
It was before, well, you weren't even here for Alf.
Yeah, so.
You weren't even here for Alf.
But I know him.
We all know him.
Yeah.
We all know him.
Yeah.
Eats cats.
Like pets?
No, yeah, he'll eat your cat. That's one of his things. And he likes human.
Was that
women.
Endearing or something? Or?
I think it's kind of one of those 80s things where it's like, whoa, he's going to eat your cat.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right.
And he has crushes on human women, which doesn't really make sense.
What network was this on?
One of the 3.
Okay.
One of those 3 that we had at the time back then.
All right.
We were walking
up
to the television
guy.
To change the channel.
Yeah. I watch TV.
Yeah. Any other final thoughts about Alf or otherwise?
No.
Thank you, Maxwell Frost. Thank you, Congressman.
Thank you.
He'll be back for Second Thoughts, and we'll be right back with Langston Kerman and Margaret Cho.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Hims. If weight loss has felt like a losing battle, this summer can be different. Skip the guesswork and try Weight Loss by Hims. It's access an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen, plus the support to actually stick with it. Through Hims, everything happens online. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Hims makes hitting your goals seamless by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and in-app lifestyle and nutrition support like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. With a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hims makes it simple to find a weight loss approach that fits into your world and your wallet. If eligible, you'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. Ready to reach your goals? Visit Hims.com/love it to get a personalized, affordable plan that gets you. That's HIMS.com/love it. Hims.com/love it. Weight loss by Hims is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit Hims.com. And we're back! Please welcome to the stage as two of our favorite comedians and two returning champions. It's Langston Kerman and Margaret Cho. Hi, good to see you, buddy. Good to see you. Hi, good to see you. Thanks for being here. Come on in.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, okay. Hi, everybody. Hello.
Hi.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Welcome back to you both.
Thank you.
What's happening?
I'm excited that I got to meet Maxwell Frost.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's great.
He's great.
He's great. Can he be president now?
I don't actually think, no.
Legally. No, he's not old enough.
He's not old enough.
Oh,
35, right?
35. He's got a couple years.
Yeah, you got to have chest hair to have that job.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not
he's
yet.
Great. He's great.
Show us. Okay.
That's a member of Congress. You show some respect.
They don't behave. I'm not going to behave.
That's fair.
That's right.
That's fair.
That's right.
Now, Margaret. I wanted to ask you about this because you've talked about it a bit recently, but you turned down a role in Heated Rivalry because you didn't want to go to Canada.
Yeah, this is awful. Okay, this is awful. So I had an offer. It was last year, and they sent me the pilot, and I love Letterkenny. It was Jacob Tierney's other show, and I loved the pilot, and I really wanted to do it, but this was like right when the ice first started disappearing people. This was also like, I mean, it just was so scary. This is the beginning of it. And when I was a little girl, my father was deported and I had to go with him. And I wasn't even 2 years old. So I was to be separated from my mother. I went with him to Korea. And I mean, I don't have any memories of that time, but I know that it was traumatic. Like I was separated from my mother for years. And when we came back, it was just hard to kind of connect with her again and kind of understand my family again. And so I have like really deep-seated like ice trauma from my childhood. So I thought, I don't know if I want to go and cross the border at this time, because I spend all my days talking about how Trump is a piece of shit, that, you know, like all I do online is just talk about how much I hate this administration and I hate what's happening. And so I just was really, I was really scared. And so I turned it down. I really regret it. I should have just become Canadian. I should have just straight up defected to Canada.
Yeah, or just like, yeah.
Yeah. Because I could have been, I could have just been like the third wheel. I could have just watched all of that gay sex happen in front
so
of me.
So people don't like, realize this, but the original idea was that your character was meant to be in all of those sex scenes.
Yeah,
being
that's
like,
the thing.
What's like, going on?
I was just, I missed out.
Yeah,
I missed out.
You were like, uh-oh, getting pretty gay in here. It was all that stuff. It was like all the time. It was weird, actually. I think it's probably, honestly, better that that was cut down. Sort of, because less farcical, more romantic.
Right, exactly.
I will say I am still waiting on my offer for Heated Rivalry, and I pray it comes. I'd like to point out
the
that they're having gay sex.
The second season is called Heated Rivalry 2, I Pray It Comes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Go ahead, fellas. It's free now.
Yeah. It's perfect. So perfect.
Langston, have you ever turned down a role you regret turning down?
Never once. Never once has an opportunity come my way and I said, no, thank you. I mostly just say yes to it. So, yeah, I that's terrible.
It's terrible. I usually say yes as well. I usually say yes to everything. That's why it was really hard to turn it down, because I also loved the show as it was. And then I just didn't think about it for a while because, you know, it's like, okay, I'm just going to put it out of my mind. And now it's the biggest
phenomenon.
It's great. I'm happy for them.
I'm happy for them.
Yeah.
You guys don't sound happy
I
for
said,
them.
No, I
said that weird. I don't know why I said it like that.
I'm happy for that. Well, I love that, you know, we're eroticizing hockey. Who would have thunk it? Like, that to me is really amazing.
I didn't notice that there was hockey in it. Is there a lot of hockey in that
There's
show?
There's a lot of hockey.
I saw those scenes with the guys in it, but they play hockey in it.
Yeah, they play hockey.
$1,000, I would have said basketball.
I will say I haven't seen the show in part because of how much people sold the sex. Mm-hmm. They made it seem so primary that it almost felt like I was tuning into a porno. And in that way, I said, I have my own porno. I don't need.
You're afraid it would make you gay. It's afraid it'd be too hot for you. And that's it. And then you're gay.
Hey,
whole life's
rules
changed.
Are rules.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have porn at home.
Yeah.
We don't need to outsource. We don't have to go out.
I got my regular schmegler used to it porn.
Yeah, you don't get out of your comfort zone.
I'm a coward. I always have been.
So, Langs, in your podcast with David Bory, my mama told me you deep dive into conspiracy theories. What is a conspiracy theory that right now you 100% believe in?
Oh, recently we were talking about the possibility that Elon Musk was the first person to get the Neuralink, and that's why he acts like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
That, like,
so he has one.
Tested himself, and now he fucking doesn't know what to do with his arms and shit because
he does. His personality does have like a Waymo quality.
It's a real car that can't move because something's in the way.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, he's been controlled from the Philippines.
Absolutely.
That's right. That's what's happening.
Oh, Elon's stuck in the crosswalk again.
Yeah.
Those people are never getting those salads.
Who downloaded Hitler on Elon? They shout that in the control room, I think.
They downloaded Hitler on Elon again. Margaret, are there any conspiracy theories you believe?
I'm really still stuck on, I still think that Katy Perry is JonBenet Ramsey.
Whoa.
I'm hearing about this one for the first time.
This was kind of popular, I think, maybe in the aughts.
Mm-hmm.
But
this was early Katy Perry.
Yeah, this is earlier Katy Perry, and it was never challenged, and they could never. And then I keep seeing it. So I think it. I don't know why. I think, but I also do think also that Ted Cruz is a Zodiac killer.
Oh, that's interesting.
The theory is that his dad was the Zodiac Killer.
Oh, okay.
And he is the son of the Zodiac Killer.
Okay.
And equally sucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not smart enough to be the Zodiac Killer.
No, I think
Because he was like, the Zodiac Killer like made up codes that nobody could crack.
He's got real Nepo serial killer vibes.
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm a little bit stuck on the Katy Perry thing.
I know, because, isn't it? It's really like involving. You're like, oh wait, maybe.
That's. I'll be honest. I'm not feeling that because who benefits? Because usually with a conspiracy theory, it's like, you know, follow the money. Who's out there being like, step one? And I'm sorry. I'm gonna go back. What was step one? So, she's not dead.
She's not dead.
And then time goes by, and she's in some sort of secret training facility to become a pop star.
I guess, yeah.
She kisses a girl. She likes it. Suddenly,
but why? Right, she's kissing a girl. She's having California dreams. But why couldn't the person Katy Perry was be a pop star? You know what I'm saying?
I know. It's weird. It's weird. I mean,
why couldn't JonBenet Ramsey be a pop star?
It's a really fun conspiracy because it's completely hinged on them doing side-by-side pictures
of
JonBenet and Katy Perry.
I see.
And they do look a lot of like in the way that adults and children can sometimes look alike,
right?
But not in a way that makes it proof of anything. It's fun.
It is fun
because it is like an age progression photograph. Like it's just, you just kind of think, well, why? And why would they do? Nobody benefits.
I see.
Nobody benefits.
Here's my conspiracy theory that I've recently come to at least be open to, which is, and I had no idea that this was something that's really been out there, and it is, which is that Sirhan didn't actually kill RFK. That he may have fired, but it was actually potentially friendly fire that killed RFK. Because Ben Heathcote, who is a video producer at Crooked, he made a documentary about Thomas Noguchi, the coroner of Los Angeles, who believed that RFK was shot from behind and Ciaran was in front.
Wow.
And apparently RFK Jr. has come to believe this as well. And I realized, oh, I don't believe things that RFK Jr. says, you know what I mean? But this might be a broken clock brainworm situation.
Right, yeah, that's true.
You know?
The brainworm is correct twice a day.
So it's... That's as the saying goes. That's where the saying comes
from. That's right.
And that is what RFK says at night.
Hey, Langston.
Yeah.
So wait, you're in a new pilot for NBC.
Yeah.
It's Keith David and Jake Johnson.
Yeah, we got picked up and we're going to shoot this fall and it'll release in sometime next year. I don't know. I'm not in charge. But yeah.
Yay!
Thanks.
Great.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And you're solving mysteries.
I play a private detective amongst a group of private detectives, and I would say I'm the worst at it of the collection, which is good. I like that.
But over time, you'll probably get better at it on the show.
I doubt it. I actually think from the energy I'm getting, they're going to keep me stupid the whole time.
Oh.
That seems to be the vibe.
Because sometimes in shows, they'll start them out, and they'll be a character and they won't be good at the job. And then somebody at the network will give them the notes being like, make them better at the job. And so in the first season, they like don't know what they're doing. But the time you get to the third season, they can like see the matrix.
Yeah.
You know?
This is from, and they're brilliant guys, Dan Gore and Luke Del Tredegy, who wrote Brooklyn Nine-Nine and made all that stuff. And I think they do a good job of not changing a thing about those characters. They just keep them fun and stupid the whole time.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like, great.
See, yeah. I don't turn anything down.
That's wonderful. I mean, it's lucky for us, for fans who can watch you.
Yeah, it'll
That's
be
great.
Fun. Yeah, thanks.
That's great.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Built. Here's a question. Are you getting rewarded for paying your rent or mortgage right now? Did you even know that that was an option? If the answer is no, you need to check out Built. Becoming a Built member means earning points on every housing payment, no matter where you live. Built points can be redeemed for flights, hotels, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, future housing payments, and more. You can use the points at fitness classes and restaurants, but there are dozens of ways to redeem. As an added benefit, Built gives every member access to its AI-powered neighborhood concierge in the Built app. It doesn't just give you information about your home and neighborhood. It executes. It's connected to your home and over 50,000 merchant partners, so you can ask it to pay your rent, make a dinner reservation, book a fitness class, schedule a lift, and more, all while automatically applying your member benefits along the way. First, download the Built app. Second, link any credit or debit card to the app so purchases at your local spots become even more rewarding. And third, ask the neighborhood concierge in the app pretty much anything. And for the homeowners out there, Built works for mortgages too. Your housing payment is one of your biggest monthly expenses, so why wouldn't you want to earn points on it? Download the Built app and join the membership for where you live at joinbuilt.com/loveit. That's joinbuilt.com/loveit. Use our link so they know we sent you.
Third Love makes bras that actually fit, so they know this. If your bra feels uncomfortable, the problem isn't your body, it's your bra. Third Love designs for comfort first. Soft fabrics, support that doesn't dig, pinch, or slip. Bras that feel good and look good under everything you wear. Shop Third Love and explore over 60 sizes, including AA through H, and half cup sizes you won't find anywhere else. Get $15 off your first purchase at thirdlove.com with code podcast15.
And we're back!
Yay!
And I missed this before we went to the break, but everybody should go to margaretcho.com/tour for tickets because you're on tour.
I'm on tour. That's right.
And you should listen to My Mama Told Me wherever you get your podcast. It's such a great show.
Thanks. Yeah. You don't have to clap. It's poison. I'm spreading poison.
Hey. It's good.
It's good. This poison's nice. This is good
nice.
Poison.
It goes down smooth, yeah. though. It goes down really smooth. So now every week we see a million news stories that have us thinking, boy, I'm glad I'm not that guy.
Yeah.
Tonight, Margaret and Langston, you'll be that guy in a segment we're calling News Your Own Adventure.
Yeah.
Here's how it works. I'm going to give you both two news stories, and you're deciding which one you'd rather be inside of.
Okay.
All right? Are you ready?
Yeah.
First up, would you rather live right next door to that Manhattan building that's about to collapse, or travel to every state that has reported cases of that explosive diarrhea disease and wash your hands in the airport bathrooms?
Well,
Margaret, please.
I kind of want to be around the diarrhea because I am on a GLP-1, and shits are hard to come by. I don't have them anymore, and so I look at diarrhea as the grass is always greener. The diarrhea is always runnier.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like they pave paradise and put up a constipated person.
Yeah,
you know,
right,
in a sense.
Right.
It's interesting. It's as if constipation is like the picture of Dorian Gray in the attic. You know,
right.
You get to be so thin, but you have a deep, dark secret, which is that there's poo going all the way up
to
your neck.
It's all poo, and then your body's just like wrapping around it. And it's very frustrating when you can't shit. And so diarrhea seems like this far off thing that it's just out of your grasp. And so
I think it's cool. I think you should go to the hospital where all these people have had diarrhea for 3 weeks because of this parasite are, and you should just be like, you people don't know how good you have it.
Grow up. Yeah, I too would take the diarrhea. I have 3 children at home, and I could use a break.
Yeah,
I like that. They're trying. I think they have temporary supports now to keep this building stable, according to Mayor Zoran Ramdani, and that guy's on a roll, you know?
Is this building next to anything important, or is it just Manhattan, therefore we're worried?
Yeah, it's that. Everything, it's Manhattan. Everything's important.
Everything's important.
It's a very
Manhattan.
Important place full of important
sure.
people doing important things.
Not important enough to have maintained it, but important enough to worry about the people around it.
Yeah, you hate when your building has those beams like that. You hate to see that. See beams like that. One construction worker apparently told the press, the I-beams are bending like cigarettes in there.
Oh, no.
So that's bad.
Yeah.
Next up. Would you rather be required to wear Kylie Jenner's new line of Meta glasses at all times, or would you rather let Instagram use your profile photo to make AI deepfakes?
Ooh.
Okay.
So Kylie is this new eyewear so that you can use AI via your sunglasses, and the AI will speak to you in Kylie Jenner's voice.
Oh.
Hey, Meta. Yeah. What's the weather like right now in New York City?
Checking the weather in New York City right now. It's around 68 degrees in New York City right now. Light showers and cloudy skies. Humidity is high and the winds are light. The rain should ease up tonight and tomorrow is sunny with a high near 84.
Thanks.
She's in front of an open window.
It would be so funny if those just exploded on her face.
Now, the other part of this is Instagram. On Tuesday, Meta rolled out a new AI model named Muse Image that people can use to create deepfakes from celebrity photos and even photos of just people with public accounts. You have to actively shut this off, which you can do under settings, sharing and reuse. That's just a genuine... People should go into Instagram and go under settings, sharing and reuse, and you'll see that there's an option you can toggle off to not allow their AI to troll your face to make other things with it. So that's just something you can do if you'd like.
This is an honest question I have is while I desperately want AI in all of these apps to not be able to use my likeness, isn't so much of our likeness already across the interwebs that we don't really get to consent anymore?
So, yes, but if what has happened is a lot of these models, before we were paying attention, went across the internet and grabbed everything and used it to train the models, mm-hmm. that's a big problem. They've already used intellectual property in ways to kind of replace the kind of work artists would do that a lot of people do. I think that's, and writing and a lot of things, that's a big problem. However, if they can't continue to do that, right, then those models will be trapped in a moment.
You're saying if we step up now, we can make AI look like Happy Feet.
Yes, sure. Yes, like Happy Feet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like AI.
A little bad, but we get technology existed here.
For sure. Yeah. Something like that over time. And, and then also it's like, oh, wow, AI certainly didn't replace all the jobs. All their slang was from 2013.
Sure.
You know?
Mm. Yeah. AI keeps calling me fam.
Yeah, you don't have to worry. Hey, come on. Someone that's calling you fam all the time, that's not going to replace all the jobs.
That's not a good guy. I'm not trusting
But this
it.
Is all just so that people can make porn. The whole thing about AI is just for porn. That's why they want it. That's why anybody wants it, so they can make porn. And then Meta glasses, like, this thing is so insidious because men have been using their Meta glasses to, like, surveil women and take, like, unsolicited photos of women and videos of women. And now they're marketing this to women. And, you know, they gave a bunch of Meta glasses. Kylie reached out to all these female influencers and gifted them. And they all made videos on social media using them. So, like, men can now have a taste of their own medicine by being surveilled. So it's just like, I don't know, it's just a big porn generator.
Damn. I think putting putting cameras everywhere is probably going to have been a mistake.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Next up, but you have to choose now. Would you rather wear the glasses or let Meta use your photos for deepfakes? Or just use their photos for their image stuff?
I'm never going to have the courage to make my own porno, so I think let AI have it if that's the case. I'm going to let Meta have it and let them put me in some cool pornos and
cool.
See.
Get in there.
See how I do.
That's correct. I was going to choose the glasses.
Yeah,
I want to wear the glasses.
I would just wear the glasses and not photograph anything.
Yeah, because here's the thing. I know that these things are all very bad, but wouldn't it be kind of nice sometimes to have glasses where you'd say, like, someone would come up and say, "So good to see you again," and then the little glasses would be like, "This is Derek. You met him 3 weeks ago at this party, but you were drunk." You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That is cool. I'd like it even more if Kylie Jenner whispers it in my ear.
Yeah.
"This is Derek." She's a little loud. He can hear it. Now we got a conversation.
Yeah, now it's embarrassing. All right, last one. Would you rather manage to renew your passport last minute right before a really important work trip, but you have to get the fuck-ass America 250 passport with Trump? Or you have to be the head of NATO and pretend you like Donald Trump in order to try and salvage the most important alliance on Earth. Here we have a moment of what it is like to be Mark Rutte, Secretary General of NATO.
You've been credited as sort of being the Trump whisperer on behalf of this alliance. You're shaking your head. But
the point is this. I just liked him, man.
Mark, you sit next to Donald Trump in moments where he talks about conquering Greenland, talks about lashing out at allies like Spain, starting trade wars. Things that it doesn't seem like the old Mark Rutte would approve of. Does this have any effect on your self-respect when you sit next to him like that and say nothing?
Got him. Can you imagine? Hey, Mark, you're getting fucking bullied by Donald Trump in front of the whole world. It's embarrassing. Can you look your wife in the eyes?
Yeah.
That's a question from a very handsome journalist.
Yeah, he's a
very
big
handsome,
guy.
He's a big, handsome guy asking that question. That might adds insult to injury in a sense.
It's so embarrassing. God, if I were to choose, I would have to choose the Trump passport because it's going to be great to have to remember when he's dead.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here's what I was thinking. So my partner is trans, and that may create some weather if we go to the airport. Maybe it's a good idea to have the Trump 250 passport. You get a jerk of an agent there, but it's like, they're kind of like, wait, what's going on? They got the Trump passport, but it's not the gender I want it to be. I'm confused. You know what I'm saying?
No,
maybe it'll be helpful.
This is a force field.
This is like get out of jail free card.
Amazing.
This is like those people that put like, "I donate to police" on the back of their car because they think they can speed without repercussion.
Also, he looks awesome.
It's a good picture of it.
It's a screen grab from The Apprentice.
You never need to stand with your fists on a desk like that. That's actually a deeply uncomfortable way to stand.
It is if you're shitting yourself.
Yeah.
that's a normal stance.
That's
now
true.
Now you're making Margaret feel even worse.
Yeah.
She has to hate this guy and he's pooping when he wants.
You're jealous.
That's right. You're right. You're totally right.
We'll be right back. And we're back.
Yay.
For our last segment, please welcome back to the stage, it's Congressman Maxwell Frost.
Okay.
Come on back over here. Welcome back. All right. Welcome to Second Thoughts. Here's how it works. Our producers have been watching the show carefully, and they've written down a list of things that they believe I should regret for mistakes I made along the way. And so we'll have a chance to express our second thoughts. If you have any second thoughts about this evening, I would love to hear them. Also, we are introducing something for the first time, which is called a kudos. And that is where the producers have decided, and this is rare, that I've done something worthy of praise in the show, which has earned me one M&M. And we'll find out what that is. I genuinely, it's the first time it's ever happened. It's like a Paul Hollywood handshake. Let's see, my first regret. The audience laughed at a joke I told, and I responded with, "Shame on you." I read Thomas Massey's tweet, and his tweet got a bigger laugh than any joke I told about it. That's a bummer.
Means you have to have him on now.
You got to have him on. Thomas Massey, come on. Come 20, join us here.
We want to talk for 20 minutes.
Talk to 20 minutes? Yeah. So a lot of these people, it's so funny. Like, oh, you talked to Mitch McConnell? Uh-huh. And then, so that's the ghost of Christmas present.
Yeah.
Scott Jennings, who's going to visit you about your past? And then who's going to visit you about the future? Yeah, yeah, and then you'll apologize for everything you've done. I also attacked that woman who said fax machine.
I love that woman.
We like you. Yeah, we like you. We're fans. We're fans. And it says here that I kept talking about Alf to Maxwell Frost. I really didn't let Alf go. Do you have any regrets about your time here?
Alf sounds bad. He eats cats. I mean, do people still like him?
He never actually successfully ate any cats as as I remember. He was mostly threatening to eat cats.
Oh, yeah.
He was hungry for cat a lot and then could never quite get his hands on
it. Oh, yes. So he never ate, you said he ate cats.
Well, it's his preferred, you're right. Maybe that was misleading. I think there's implied in the show that cats need to worry and cats may disappear around Alf.
Yeah.
But no named cat is ever ultimately.
That we know of. They didn't follow him his whole life.
That we knew of. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs.
The family, you know? The family never came home to a massacre.
Yeah. On a very special episode of Alf.
He might just be cleanly.
Yeah. That's right.
What's the name Alien Life Form?
I think that's right. Yeah.
Is that the name of the show?
Yeah, well, that was his. That's the acronym for his name. It's ALF, Alien Life Form.
That's the government.
So he's an alien.
He's on the run. Yes, he's an alien.
Yeah, he's an alien.
What did you think ALF was?
I thought he was just like they found him in a cave or something.
So you're right. Oh, just creature. You thought it could
Like
been
a creature.
Creature. Area creature.
Creature's different than alien.
Yes, right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Because
there's different rules then.
You're totally right.
Okay.
You're absolutely right.
All
right.
Beautifully said.
Beautifully said.
Thank you.
Let's see. One regret I have for Langston and Margaret. I tried to bring Dorian Gray into constipation.
It was apt. I don't know. I thought that was apt because it is like my colon is like in a stuck state that I'm watching.
It is the portrait of you that is your colon being constipated is the equivalent of a portrait of you in the attic where you're very fat.
Yeah. It's that.
Right?
I started because I'm fiber maxing right now.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
so I'm eating tons of fiber.
That's cool.
And I got this little like baby food salad pouch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I have one like every morning. It has half your fiber for the day.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
Wow. Yeah, and I drink it. It kind of tastes like shit, but it helps your shit.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
okay.
It helps you poop.
That's cool.
And it helps you with your fiber. And
yeah, because to get your fiber for the day, you'd have to have like a ton of vegetables. Like it's a crazy amount.
I want to take it up with the scientists because they're like, this is the amount of fiber you need per day and not enough people are getting it. And then you see what it takes to get, you're like, well, I've eaten a whole head of lettuce. How much is that? One? Fuck. Like, where are these people that are eating all the amount of, like, to get, like, when you think about calories and cookies, you're like, oh my God, I ate one cookie and it's so many calories. Then you see the fiber you require to get to. It's like, what am I saying? I ate a whole fuck. What the fuck?
Yeah.
So you got to have the gummies.
I will say, the scientists I trust the least are food scientists.
Totally.
Because of their history with the food pyramid alone.
Yes.
I go, these are not trustworthy individuals. They told me milk was very important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bread was like the base for the whole thing.
6 to 10 servings of bread per day.
Yeah.
That's what they said. That's what these scientists said. And then, they're like, 6 to 10 servings of bread per day.
Yeah.
If you'd like, have an apple.
Treat yourself at the top, but certainly eat all that bread.
My kudos from the team is heated rivalries too, : I pray he comes.
Yeah.
That was good, so I get one M&M. Appreciate that. Any final thoughts or regrets about tonight's episode? Anything you wish you had done differently?
Well, you talked about the Trump passport, but you didn't talk about his post about it.
Oh, that tell us.
Yeah, because he made a post saying that the passport will say, welcome, but be good. Which shows, like, the passport is for the fucking Americans going other places. Welcome to what? Yeah, like, awesome. Welcome to what? Does he think the passport's for people coming here?
Right. You only need your passport to come home because you left.
Yeah.
With
so,
the passport.
But he obviously thinks that it's for other people coming here. Because he said it says, welcome, but be good.
Right. Welcome.
So he's stupid.
He's so stupid. He's so just plain stupid.
Yes, I think sometimes the challenge of politics in this era is there's a simple truths become boring. And so you have to find interesting and intricate ways to describe something quite simple, which is at some point, oh, he's just stupid and bad.
Yeah.
And that's our show. Thank you so much to Representative Maxwell Frost, to Langston Kerman, to Margaret Cho. There are 116 days until the midterms. We will be back next week. Have a great weekend. Love It or Leave It is a Cricket Media production. Our show is produced by Kendra James, Bill McGrath, Kelsey Gante, and me, John Lovett. Our production team includes Hallie Keeper, Sarah Lazarus, Raman Borsellino, Peter Miller, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Jay Banks, Gavin Purcell, and Matt DeGroat. And our staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.